Let me take your Bibles now and go to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians right after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We'll read verse number 18 this evening all together. We'll read just one verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if you'll read with me, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And let's pray. Holy Father, Lord, we've enjoyed church tonight. Lord, we've enjoyed hearing, Lord, how the Lord is blessing others. Lord, I believe many of us, Lord, as while they were giving their testimony, were thinking about all that you've done for us. Lord, thank you for being our God. Lord, thank you for what you do for us. Lord, thank you that church is not just a ritual habit that we perform, but Lord, while here, Lord, the word of God being preached, you speak to our heart. And Lord, this evening we'll ask once again, Lord, that your Holy Spirit be present. We'll empty ourselves of ourselves as we yield ourselves to you. As the man of God preaches the word of God, fill him with that same power. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When we opened the service, I even believe I made this statement to the Lord when we prayed. We live in such a thankless, negative society. Our world is nasty. It's rare to hear the words in public, thank you. It really is. If you use them, people kind of look at you. I do a lot of business. We do a lot of business here at the church and with others. And when people go a little above and beyond, I make sure that I thank them for it. There's times I've written managers or business owners and an employee treated us kindly. And I thanked them for it. I thanked them for training their employees to be like that. There's people who have done work for our church and they went above and beyond the call of duty and we've done some nice things for them. The lady who designed these buildings, the architect, when she was done and everything, we were done with the building. She had moved out of state. I got her address in Texas and we sent flowers to her with a picture of the church building. Say, why, preacher? Because I believe in saying thank you to people. I believe we ought to be thankful. God said the day would come when society as a whole would be unthankful. Well, it says unthankful, unholy. Boy, are we there. People are not thankful for a job or their pay. The pay they agreed to. I thank God for a daddy that when I got my first job, he said, are you satisfied with your pay? I said, yes, sir. He said, good, don't you ever complain about it or I'm going to ask the boss to fire you. You want a pay raise, work harder. He'll give it to you, don't you dare ask. But don't you dare complain about it either. You're the dummy that agreed to it. That was the words he used. I thank God for that. People criticize everything because they want to be the center of life. It's amazing how negative people are. I've had more than one employee at a restaurant fired. My wife and I went somewhere one time, and this dude came to the counter and was going to take our order, and he was bad-mouthing his boss to the people ahead of me and the people ahead of him and said something to me. He took my order, and he was bad-mouthing them after me. And I saw the manager. I said, my wife said, what are you going to do? I said, go get the drinks. And I said, can I talk to you for a second? He said, yes, sir. I said, over there. I walked over to the side. He came out the side door. And I said, see that jerk behind the cash register? I said, if I were you, I'd fire his rear end before the next person got to the cash register. He's done nothing but criticize you, criticize this place from the time I walked in that door. I said, I'd never let somebody like that work for me. He looked at me. I said, I'm just telling you what I think. I went back, waited for my order. He walked over, tapped the kid on the shoulder. He said, so-and-so, you come over here. And the guy left. He came back later and he said, thank you. I needed to fire that guy. And he did. I've done that more than once. We were in New Jersey eating with a pastor and his family. And this, as a matter of fact, I think maybe you or Jeff was there. I forget which one. We were at Brother Gelhausen's, and this guy had about 8 or 9 of us that he was taking orders for. Never wrote a thing down. He knew what every person wanted to drink. He knew all the specialties. He knew everything. And just a congenial guy, interacted with everybody at their level, picking back and forth with us, sharp as a tack. We walked out. I said, where's the manager? And they pointed me to the manager. On our way out, I shook his hand. I said, that young man needs to move up the ladder. He ought to be a manager here. He said, you know, I get a lot of compliments about him. I said, you didn't listen to me. He needs to be a manager here. That kid knows what he's doing. And he said, thank you. He said, we don't often hear good words. I said, well, you will for me. We don't thank people very much. America has taught us in our public school system that critical thinking is to be intelligent. It just shows how far away from God you are. Critical thinking is not intelligence, it's anti-God. God said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. God says it's his will that we give thanks. It's not his will to be unthankful, critical, and negative. God's will is for us to be thankful. God tells us in everything, give thanks. This means in bad times, we are to give thanks. This means in good times, we're to give thanks. This means when we're on the mountaintop, give thanks. And when it's raining, give thanks. I know people complain, oh, it's rained for the last day and a half. Well, we went 3.5 weeks with none. This means the unimportant should be just as important as the important. This means that the sloppy handmade gift from a bus kid ought to be as important as an expensive gift that you've been wanting for the last 3 years. I love every handshake from our bus kids when they get off that bus on Sunday mornings. I love every one of them, whether they say it or not, but often I'll hear, love you, preacher. Whew. I'll take that any day. I'll take the snotty noses. I'll take the little bit of extra noise in junior church. Amen, Brother Lopez. I'll take all of that. Say why? Because those kids know somebody loves them. Amen. That means the sloppy handmade coloring sheet. I've got things in my desk that Wyatt colored me when he didn't even know what his name was. If I showed it to him today, he'd say, I did that. Yep, you did that. You say why? Because that's important. That means we ought to be thankful at funeral time as well as at birth time. That means we ought to be thankful in sickness as in health. God says, in everything, give thanks. I had a pastor call me today. He's a young pastor. He said, preacher, one of my founding church members, she's in the hospital, she's dying. I'm supposed to leave and go to a different state and be a part of a wedding first part of the week. I'll be back by Thursday, but she already took her oxygen and feeding tube out once. Her daughter convinced her to put it back in, and she tore it out again today, and she said, I'm ready to go see Jesus. She said, I'm done. I'm ready to go home. He said, my wife is so looking forward to this. Should I go to the wedding? I said, can you get into the hospital? He said, no. I said, then go to the wedding. I said, you talk to her today, you let her know what's going on, and you take care of her funeral if she passes. I said, as tough as she is, she might still be alive when you get back anyway. He said, good point, preacher. He FaceTimed her after he called me. got to talk to her, and she said, "Don't you miss that wedding." He thanked me for the advice. Can I tell you something? As a pastor, though, I understood what he meant. I wouldn't want to be gone. But God says, give thanks. It's his will. This means that our negative, critical, sharp, nasty unthankfulness is not God's will.
Right.
When we get nasty, that's not God's will. No matter what comes, God tells us to be thankful. He does not say we have to be thankful for the negative circumstance. But he does say, in everything, give thanks. Brother Mike, I've had a hip problem for 45 years now. This last week, there was twice, I would have paid somebody to come and use my hunting knife and cut my leg off. If I could have reached it the right way, I'd have done it myself. It was that bad. I was up all night one night. It doesn't happen like that often, but I have days like that. You know, you get my age or older, you know what I'm talking about. If it don't hurt, it don't work. You know you're alive when you get up and it hurts, okay? If it don't hurt, you're in heaven, amen? I get it. Can I tell you something? I am thankful whether my hip hurts or whether it doesn't hurt too bad. You say, why? Because it reminds me I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Also reminds me I need God. I don't know about you, but I want to do God's will for my life. Wouldn't you like to be able to say I'm doing God's will?
Yes.
And God says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Let me give you three thoughts and I'm done. Number one, God's will is to be thankful in everything, not for everything. Notice the preposition used there. God doesn't say, be thankful that your hip hurts. He did say, when your hip hurts, be thankful. I don't have to be thankful that my mom died, but I have to be thankful even though she died. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
God didn't say, be thankful for the negative circumstance. He said, when you're in the negative circumstance, find something to be faithful or be thankful for.
That's good, preacher.
See, too many of us, we focus on the negative circumstance and we get depressed, we get discouraged, we get angry, we get upset, we get disillusioned, and God's not fair. Why did God do this? Why didn't God do that to some pervert out in the world somewhere instead of this good person? And we're so focused on ourselves, and God said, quit looking at the circumstance and be thankful. It's amazing how much God gets blamed for our sin. God did not say we have to be thankful for the negative things, but he said when you're in those negative things, find something and be thankful for it. We live in the world that wants to complain about everything. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too wet. It's too dry. We didn't get enough snow. We got too much snow. Any snow is too much snow. shoot, I hated seeing the cottonwood fly because I had flashbacks. We complain about our finances. Folks, we complain about the news. Quit watching it, you won't complain as much.
Amen.
We complain about our health. We complain about our family. We complain about everything. How about we find something and be thankful? God wants us to stay on top side by not focusing on the negative, but be thankful when the negative comes.
Amen.
He says, in everything, give thanks. He didn't say, give thanks for everything. You smack your thumb with a hammer, you're not supposed to say, well, bless God, thank you, God, that I hit my thumb. You're not real smart. That's those healers, feelers, and squealers people. All right? They think they've got to thank God for all the bad things. That's not what God said. But when you smack your thumb with your hammer, you can say, praise God, I didn't hit the other nine too. Good thing you're not a better aim, all right? Find something to be thankful for. No, I did not hit mine this week, all right? Key statement, this week. Too many of us focus on the fact that you hit that one spot somewhere, or you cracked your toe in the middle of the night, or whatever, and that's all you focus on. Or the mouse bites it. Amen, Brother Harry. I knew what you were thinking. I saw it. He got up one night and something was hurting his toe, and he turned the light on. He had a mouse biting his foot. That's enough to wake you up in a hurry, isn't it? Some of you women would never go back to sleep. You know, I think it's pretty phony for us to be thankful for bad things. But God didn't say be thankful for the bad things. He said in the bad times, be thankful. But when they come, find something to be thankful for. Did you know that if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether it's going good or whether it's going bad, you can thank God you're saved and on your way to heaven. Your name's written down in the book of life. You'll never face hell. You'll never face judgment for your sin. Hey, I can be thankful all the time.
Yes, sir.
Too many of us get down. Well, I'm just not feeling real good. Well, who ever does feel good all the time? Show me one place in the Bible where it says you're never going to get sick or feel bad. Sin brings that. It's proof you're a sinner. Hate to discourage you. Well, I just get so tired of pulling weeds. Well, you can thank Adam and Eve for that. And every time I'm pulling weeds, I say, God, when I get to heaven, I'm going to choke him. I'm just going to kill him. Did you know you can be thankful for people you love? Why don't you take time and be thankful for somebody instead of being negative all the time? How about you be thankful for the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to make a statement. If you're thanking God for the Holy Spirit, you can't be negative. Maybe if we would yield to the Holy Spirit more, we wouldn't be so negative. Did you know you could thank God for the Bible? Maybe instead of running your mouth, how about you run to the Word of God and open it? Instead of going to Facebook and telling everybody and listening to all the gossip, put your face in the book and see what God says. Did you know you can thank God for things that will be eternal? I am not thankful my mama died, but I am thankful there's a heaven. I'm thankful I'm going to see her one day. I'm thankful Brother Hiles is there. I'm thankful that my grandparents are there. I'm thankful for thousands of people that I know that are there. I'm thankful one day I'm going to get to see Jesus.
Amen.
You know, when things get pretty bad, you start thinking about that. That ain't too so bad, is it? Now, I don't have to think about the bad situation, but I can be thankful for the good things that God has given us to think about. So God says it is His will for us to be thankful in, not for, all things. So, number two, society and our flesh only want to see what's happening now. Isn't it amazing how, boy, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. I'm so tired of the president ordering the flag up and down like a yo-yo, it drives me insane. What's he doing? He's conditioning the people that everything's a tragedy. I'm not for people going in and shooting people up. But we live in a country of almost 350 million people, and there's, and a portion of our people don't even want the police. Now the politicians who said to fund the police and get their car stolen want the police. How's that work? Because of our sin, our flesh and our emotions are the most important things to society. Oh, you can't say that. You might offend somebody. So? I know people who have lost their jobs because they offended somebody. Good night. It's a good thing I don't get hired and fired by that. I'd have been fired before I started. Trust me. Where is it that it's a criminal act or a fireable act to offend somebody? Did you know their lifestyle offends me? Can I fire them? Oh no, that wouldn't be right. You'd be just, wait a minute, what's right about them firing us? We make ourselves feel important or more intelligent if we criticize somebody. Can I tell you something? You're pretty low when you got to tear everybody down to stand on top of them. If you have to tear someone down so that you can feel bigger, you're not very big. If you have to, we used to call it dress them down. You men know what I'm talking about. If you had a coach, you definitely know what I'm talking about. My son Jeff was telling me they were one of their, was it your master sergeant or one of them, master chief, one of them, they were doing something and one guy says, well, let's settle this, chief. Let's do it rock, paper, scissors. Master sergeant said, sure, let's do it. Rock, paper, scissors, rank, you're done. I love that. Oh, I love that. He said, you lose. I thought that was great. I'm sorry. I thought, I want to meet that guy. Say, what was it? He came down to where he was, but he didn't tear him down. He just said, I just outranked you and you lost. He didn't have to get tough with him. All he had to do is say, I outrank you. You know, God wants us focused on right and wrong and truth, not our emotions and feelings. We think our feelings are the most important thing in the world. Can I tell you, sometimes your feelings aren't right. Sometimes they're too sensitive. Sometimes mine are too. I have to put my feelings aside and do what's right, whether I feel like doing it or not. Please don't take this the wrong way. I don't always feel like preaching. I say, preacher, you think I felt like preaching after my mama died? I'm just going to be honest with you. You really think I felt like doing her funeral? But it was the right thing to do. And I promised her I would. So I was obeying. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you have to put your feelings aside and do what you're supposed to do, not complain about how your feelings felt. Too many of us are so focused on our feeling that we don't focus on the thankfulness to do what we're supposed to do. I thank God I had to preach so many times in a row as we went through my mom's passing to heaven because it's what helped get me through everything. I didn't feel like it, but it did it. 40 minutes after my mom died, I had an appointment with somebody to plan another funeral. I had just gotten word. I hadn't gotten home. And Mrs. Diener's husband passed away and word came to me. And I was talking to her. I was sitting out in my truck in front of my house talking to her, trying to comfort and console her as my heart had been broken because my mom just passed. I hadn't even gotten to talk to anybody in my family other than my brother, and he's the one that told my dad. Can I tell you something? You don't always feel, but you got to put those feelings aside and say, let me help you. Sometimes we think our feelings are the most important thing. I love you. I love your feelings. I love me. I love my feelings, but my feelings don't run me. The Word of God, truth should. Amen. So God wants us focused on right and wrong and truth, not what could have been better. Well, if we had, I don't care what was. You can't change what was. I don't care how good, how bad, you can't change it. Forget it. Let's deal with it. Let's go forward. Well, but if I would have done, okay, you didn't do it. Don't worry about it. Well, if they would have, they didn't. Don't worry about it. Let's deal with it now. God said all things work together for good. That means work together. That takes time. He also didn't say all things work together for your good. He said he'll work it together to be good somewhere, some way. Josh and Ruth Ann are getting ready to foster and adopt. You know, I've heard him say more than once, I'm careful how I pray, Dad. Because I know if we get a child, that means somebody's going through a bad situation. And do I really want to pray for that? That's a lot of wisdom. I know what they want. But do you really want to pray for somebody to have a bad situation? Now think through that one once. That's almost like two Christian schools getting together to play a ball game. And you pray, you know, who's God going to favor to win the game? You know, God, help us win the game. You know, the other, that's a no-win match right there. We think we have a right to complain because things don't go the way we want. May I ask you a question? Who made you God? How arrogant and sinful for us to think that we have to tell God how things must be. Well, God, if I were you, can you imagine being 13, 14, 15 years old, looking my dad in the face and say, well, if I were you, I would do it this way. Yeah, you all laugh. I wouldn't have been laughing. He did not mean the next week. Or I would have heard that statement, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. Wait a minute, that's my earthly dad. Can you imagine looking at God and telling him that? That's the way most of us live. God, that's not fair. God, I don't understand why you did. Ooh, wait a minute, maybe God didn't do it, maybe sinners did.
That's right.
Quit blaming God. Look how upset with the Jews God got for constantly complaining. I was reading through the book of Deuteronomy recently. I got to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I got about 3 or 4 verses down. And I started laughing one morning. My office, real early in the morning. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1 once. You want to see how God smacks somebody right square in the teeth and smiles while he does it? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's see here if I can find it. Okay. Look at verse number 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and something like that, in Dizanhab. Man, I wish they had other names. Now watch this. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year. Did you catch what God said? It was an 11-day journey. 40 years later, you're finally there. God went, then he goes to say, all of you that were 20 years old and older are dead. Your parents are all dead because they wouldn't listen and they complained. They were unthankful, unholy. Moses, you brought us out here. We're going to die. We wish we were back in Egypt. Well, boy, that sounds real thankful, doesn't it? God provided manna. Oh, we want leeks and onions and garlic like we had back in Egypt. What a combination. We think we have a right to express our own dissatisfaction no matter who we hurt. Please listen to me very carefully on this. Just because you don't get all of what you want or it doesn't work the way you want it to work doesn't mean we need to know. When you have to tell everybody that you disagree with so many things, or you have to tell somebody you disagree with it, and they didn't ask you whether you agreed with it, guess what? Nobody cares. Amen. There's a lot of things in life I don't agree with, but I don't say anything about it. I'll promise you, If I sat beside Mrs. Barnes and worked at her shoulder all week long, her and I would disagree a lot about how she does something. But she would disagree how I do things. I have paper. She has a computer. I don't complain about how she files. I just make sure she's got stamps, envelopes, and addresses. We're good. How she gets them, don't give a flip. Say why? I don't have to agree how she does it. As long as we get the work done, and it may not be done the way I would do it. But guess what? When you hire somebody, you're hiring somebody to help you get the work done. You didn't hire them to do it exactly the way you do it. Brother Josh is going to do things differently than the way I do it. Guess what? He has that latter ability. Now, there are some things we're not going to change. Doctrine's not going to change. King James Bible, not going to change. Certain things we're going to do, standards and separation, is not going to change. But whether somebody uses a computer or whether I use my pen doesn't matter to me. Whether you keep your itinerary or your schedule on your phone or your computer and you have to have dingers on your phone to remind you, or you do like me and I have to have my secretary print out my calendar every year because you can't buy them anymore because they're paper, I do it. But I'm not late to appointments, are you? I'm not complaining how you do it. But what I'm saying is, how about we quit worrying about somebody else doing it exactly the way I would? If you don't drive my house the way I drive there, I don't care. Just like you shouldn't care if I take a different route to your house than you would take. Why is that such a big deal? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Amen, preacher. We actually think our opinion matters if it's not asked for. Folks, something I learned a long time ago. Don't give your opinion unless it's asked for, and even then, make sure they really want it.
Amen.
Especially if you know it's going to be contrary. I wrote this statement down. It's written right here. If you don't believe me, you can look at it later. Don't lean too heavily on your opinion. It's going to change. How many of you have had a strong opinion before and then later realized that wasn't so good? Yeah, everybody has. Everyone has an opinion, but wise people don't tell everybody their opinion all the time. God says a wise man, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man holdeth it in. It's amazing how many of us, as soon as somebody says something, we've got to say something about it. We got to put our 2 cents in. If your 2 cents weren't asked for, keep it in your pocket.
Amen.
You say, preacher, that's not very nice. Neither is you giving your opinion when it's not asked for.
That's right.
I'll smile. Thank you. Doesn't mean I'm going to listen. If your opinion is negative, most people don't need to know. And if it's negative and they didn't ask, shut up.
Amen.
That's not nice words, but it's the nicest way I know how to say it. Guess what? After somebody does something, giving your opinion of how you would do it doesn't really matter. Did you ever do something and somebody said, well, if I were you, I'd have done it this way. Well, too late. You weren't here then. I did it. Like it or lump it, it's done. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Who cares how you would have done it? You didn't give all these instructions before. It must not have been that important. If it was so important to you, how come you didn't say that before?
Amen.
By the way, don't live offended if people don't ask for your opinion or don't like your opinion. Well, they didn't appreciate my opinion. So? It's amazing how many people get their feelings hurt because somebody didn't like their opinion. But was it asked for? Even if it was, it's an opinion. Did you know, if you don't like my opinion, it doesn't bother me. I'm not going to change my opinion. But I'm not going to be, oh, I'm just so offended. Come back next week, we'll teach you how not to suck your thumb. Good grief. A bunch of babies. It's total selfishness. I've got to hurry. I want to keep going, but I... Yeah, somebody might... Some of you are already offended. Let's learn to obey God's will and be thankful in all things. God says it is the will of God. Do you know that God gave you a will? Do you know what the word will means? Now get this. The word will means you tell yourself to do it. You will yourself to do it. It means you may not want to do it. You may not known to have done it. And you might not think you can do it. But if God said you could do it, you can will yourself to do it. Do you think I really like getting up real, real, real early in the morning? No. Every morning of my life, I resurrect. There are days I think, okay, I'm getting up and going to church, but what for today? At 3:30 this morning when I got up. One night this week, my phone, I got to bed about a quarter to 11, my phone buzzed at 1. My phone went off at 3, and I was up at 4. It happens. You think I really wanted to get up at 4? No. But I did. I willed myself. I told myself, time to do it. By the way, you're not always going to want to be thankful. But God said you can will yourself to be thankful. I don't feel like it, preacher. So, did you know you can will yourself not to eat as much as you do sometimes? You can't say I was talking to you. I was looking at the wall. I couldn't even look at your reaction. Because I was preaching at the mirror. I mean, at the wall. You say, what is it? You have to tell yourself no. You have to tell yourself what you're going to do. That is willing yourself to do it. Look for the things for which to give thanks. Especially when things aren't going well. When things aren't going well, you have to will yourself to be thankful. All of us want to complain. That's fleshly. That's natural to our sinful, selfish, stinking flesh. Try something. Let me give you a recipe. Find 10 things every day to thank God for. Make a list. After you get through those 10 things, tear your list up, and the next day, make a new list. And find 10 things every day to thank God for. I wouldn't do it all at one time and say, okay, did that. I'd do it one time and wait for things, you know, do it on your way to work when traffic's backed up. Boy, am I thankful. Not for traffic. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Leave at the wrong time and you get stuck on 270. Then try this at home. Tired of all the fussing and the feuding and the arguing and the complaining and the yelling and all the stuff that goes on. How about you find 5 things about each person living in your home to be thankful for every day and tell them that you're thankful for it. See, that might take work, preacher. It might take work. But if you opened up your dresser drawer and your wife did your laundry for you, you have something to be thankful for. If you had food in your belly and she cooked today, you had something to be thankful for. If you had clean dishes and she took care of the dishes, you had something to be thankful for. Ladies, if you had food in the cupboards and cabinets and refrigerator and freezer to make, you had something to be thankful for. I could go on. I'm not talking about big things. Did you know you can be thankful for things your kids do? Before you're negative, before you state your feelings or opinions, how about you stop and thank God for something? Amen. Just stop and thank God before you give your opinion. There's times I have to give people negative news, but I try to sandwich it. Start with something good, hit with the bad, say something good again. Layer it in. It's the meat between the bread, but at least there's two thin pieces of bread on both sides. We can call it a sandwich, amen? God says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Wouldn't you like to do God's will? Then how about we give thanks? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Boy, this is a sermon we all need. This sermon America needs. But I know we as Christians need it. I know I need it. I have to work on it. Let me ask you a question. How's your thankfulness to God?